be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, the final segment of Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere. Usually from 7:30 on, I like to sometimes make that kind of the fun. That's kind of like we have fun with that, whether it's music. Maybe we talk things that aren't so serious, like politics and news. Maybe we might talk a little sports, and kind of that's where we're going today, this evening, is that we are going to talk with the one and only Kerry J. Byrne. And it's kind of unusual because here we are 2 weeks in a row, and right around the same time, last week, Kerry, we had somebody that you know, Mr. Kevin Long. He was on with Dave Wedge, you know, good friends of yours, I believe. It's kind of a, it's kind of ironic, isn't it?
Well, you need a bigger circle of friends, Kevin.
Is that what it is?
No, it's great to be on with Kevin Tachi. You are the hottest working man in show business. And, you know, Kevin Long's a South Shore guy. He's one of the top chefs in Boston. You know, Big Night Entertainment Group. He's a partner there. Empire Restaurant and Lounge, Red Lantern, all these really great, sophisticated restaurants and clubs in Boston that he's the man behind all the food. Really great places and a great, great success story. And talk about a success story, Brockton's own Dave Wedge just wrote a great book about the marathon bombing, Boston Strong. I don't know if you got into this. I believe it's been optioned into a movie.
Yep. Oh, yeah. We talked about that a couple of months ago, Kerry.
Yeah. So Wedge is, you know, between, you know, Dave Wedge and Kevin Long, two local kids who have really been great success stories. So.
Well, all four of us. I mean, you're kind of a South Shore guy. You're a Quincy guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, Quincy's a South Shore, right? We, you know, it's kind of its own little haven, but we're sure as hell not the North Shore. Do you know this? Do you know, Kevin, if you go to the North Shore, the water spins down the drain the other direction?
No, it does not.
It does, too.
Really?
Yeah, other side of the equator.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to check out. But we don't have you on here to, and that was great. That was very nice how you kind of lined up and gave folks insight to Kevin Long, a great guy, and Dave Wedge. And if folks missed that conversation that we had last Monday night, the podcast is up. I ask you to go and check it out and go and kind of go to some of the places that Kerry just lined up talking about the Red Lantern and you know, stuff like that, Empire. We talked about that, and we're going to make a pilgrimage, myself and Joe Rossi. But we have you on here. Listen, if you want to talk boxing, you'll talk to Bert Sugarman. You know, if you want to talk baseball, then maybe you might go to Curt Schilling or somebody like that. But when we want to talk football, we want to really get down to the pigskin. Well, we got to call up the potentate himself, Mr. Kerry J. Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com. And Kerry, do you smell it in the air? Can you smell football?
Well, you know what the thing about football, the off season is so long. They only play, you know, basically from September to the end of January, right? So, you know, baseball, they begin spring training in February and play to November. There's no off season. Football, one of the reasons we love it, this nation loves it so much, it's rare. It's only a few games a year. The season's very short, and there's a long off season, and obviously a very, very news-filled off season this year. But I think part of the appeal of football is its scarcity. It's not there every day. We have to wait for it. We pine for it. And when it finally comes, yeah, you can smell it in the air, Kevin. It really, you know, the fall is my favorite time of year, and when you start to get some of those cool nights, you know, late in summer, it's I get geared up for football, absolutely.
And so what are you looking at? I mean, part of me wants, you know, the thing that has been looming over the NFL since the AFC Championship has been this controversy regarding air pressure in a football. And it was something that has basically, it has encompassed every other sport. Every other sport that has been trying to get attention out there, whether it was the NBA Finals, the NHL Finals, Major League Baseball having their season, in there, you know, somewhere looming at the top of the top sports stories is this controversy regarding the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, and did he do it? Now here we are. We're in the penalty phase. Four games, you know, Patriots losing a draft pick. Now it's gone to where we're appealing, you know, we're appealing the appeal. And it's in court last week, in court, Judge Berman. Yep. Actually, this Wednesday coming up, it could loom large.
Well, you know, you're touching a couple of things real quick, Kevin. This story is not just a sports story. It's transcended pop culture. The national news networks, all those, you know, Hollywood gossip shows, and I don't even watch them, but like Access Hollywood, things like that, they've all been leading, you know, Tom Brady, Deflategate. It's been the number one, possibly the number one pop culture story in America. It's a sign of how popular Tom Brady is, how successful he's been, how successful the Patriots have been, how much they're despised in much of the country.
Oh,
that a pound and a half of air pressure in a football has been a leading pop culture phenomenon story. But as we wrote last week on Cold Hard Football Facts, Roger Goodell's fatal mistake. He accused an innocent man, Kevin. This is not only was this a big story. This was the biggest story in the long and glorious history of coldhardfootballfacts.com. Over 40,000 shares on Facebook. I think it's been the biggest sports story in Boston this year, just in terms of public interest. We lined up all the boom, 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 5 bullet points. Why the NFL has no case on Tom Brady? And at the end of the day, Kevin, very scarce evidence and no proof. There is no proof. And, you know, obviously this is not the legal system. It's the NFL versus, you know, one of its, you know, versus an NFL PA union member. But in the court of law, what do you call someone against whom there is no proof of wrongdoing? You call them innocent, Kevin.
That's
I know
hard.
Technically not guilty, but he's innocent.
Well,
there is nothing. The NFL, we know now, has nothing on Tom Brady, which is why he may walk.
But here's the thing, and that's I hope the folks in the New England area aren't going to make the mistake by some of the things that we learned from last week's the first court appearance in front of Judge Berman. And yeah, you're right. One of the questions that was asked is do you have any proof that Tom Brady said? Do you have anything in writing? Do you have pictures? Do you have anything that places him at the scene of the crime where he is instructing these two attendants to take the air pressure out of the ball? Or, you know, do you have anything? And the answer was no.
They have no proof. They bumbled it from the beginning. They basically, let's look at it from the get-go. And I know this is old territory if you listen to it, but just to summarize it quickly. The NFL ran a sting operation in the second biggest game of the year against this marquee team. Really found little evidence. They found evidence that maybe the balls were underinflated, but there's a variety of reasons we now know where that could have been possible. Mm. They tried to blame it on a ball boy who was apparently able to deflate 12 footballs in a cramped stadium bathroom in 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
Which is a physical impossibility, I'm sorry. And the whole story was based on, the whole accusation was based on some suspicion with really no scientific foundation behind it. And for this, the NFL started, you know, sullied the name of one of its best players, one of the great players of all time.
Sure.
They've mishandled it from the get-go, and now we know when push comes to shove, they have nothing. They have nothing, and to the point that they even admitted it in front of Judge Berman last week in a Manhattan courthouse.
But it seems to me as though they're trying to topple a franchise that has done what is seemingly the impossible. They have stayed relevant for a decade and a half, that they have stayed in the conversation. They go to the playoffs. They're a team that's always in the conversation. When you talk to a Kerry Byrne and you talk to any of his peers about the teams that are going to be in it come January and February, the Patriots have been able to do that since 2001.
Yep.
And the problem being here, I kind of think I'm leading this to a conspiracy that, you know what? What's the best way to try to at least knock them off the perch? You find a way to pin something else to them cheating. So let's not only penalize their star quarterback, Hall of Famer, I might add. But let's also try to hinder the franchise. They took away a first-round draft pick. Who knows? If you take away the quarterback, you know, if you take the quarterback off the field for, you know, a quarter of the games in the season, you take away a draft pick, well, then, you know what? There's a good chance that that team won't be in the conversation come their 50th when it comes to the 50th Super Bowl.
Well, clearly, listen, the Patriots are the most hated team in football. People in 5.5 states like them, right?
Yeah.
Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and half of Connecticut.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And the rest of the country, you know.
Not so much.
44.5 states despise the Patriots. And here's why. You know, when throughout history, what happens when there's a king, the powerful king? What do people want to do? They want to knock him off.
Yep.
And the Patriots have been the king of the NFL. And not only have they dominated, Kevin, I don't think Patriots fans, even here in Boston, appreciate this. The Patriots have been the greatest victory machine in the history of football. But they've won nearly 80% of their games over a 14-year period, which the NFL has constructed entirely to make that not possible.
Mm.
And they've been the greatest victory machine in the history of football. It's pretty amazing.
But if you were to kind of look at some of the proof, since they were deemed a dynasty in 2004, you look at the things that the NFL and the front office has tried to do to slow the Patriots down. Every time the Patriots figure out a new twist to, you know, to play to get a advantage, and that's what it is. It's a series of advantages in football, and some luck is in there as well. But you look at when it came to, you know, the Patriots, you need to have Ty Law and being able to kind of, you know, be up in the grill of, you know, a wide receiver. What do? They invoke, you know, they try to invoke more and more rules that are more wide receiver friendly. So when the Patriots try to have a press coverage up against a wide receiver, that's impossible. They took that away. We look at the different things. When you're trying to do videotaping, everybody was doing it. But you know what? The Patriots were the one that got called out for their manner.
I don't know. All they had was, like, the camera in the wrong place. It was
a big deal over nothing.
Minor thing that they went after him for. But even this year with the the eligible receiver.
Yes.
Eligible receiver role, because the Patriots exploited that to great effect against the Ravens. And, you know, by the way, other teams have done it.
Yep.
In fact, I forget who did it. Another NFL team did it early in the year. And LSU did it against Alabama, or vice versa, during a Southeastern Conference game last season as well. That same formation the Patriots did. The Patriots do it. You know, other teams do it. Nobody knows. The Patriots do it. All of a sudden, it's a national scandal. Oh, they're cheating. They're breaking the rules. No, what they did was well within the rule.
Yeah.
Nobody knew the rule.
No, but now they want to reinterpret the rule. So now you have to do, if you're going to be the player who's staying in, you're going to do like 5 jumping jacks just so the defense knows you're not going to be going across the line of scrimmage. Now, how stupid is that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm being facetious here, but I mean, that's what it is. Because the Baltimore Ravens bitched about it. It was made into a big deal.
Yep. Now let me tie this all into Brady. Why Brady is the linchpin of all this hatred, okay? First of all, we wrote a story after the Super Bowl. There goes Tom Brady, the best to ever live. Tom Brady owns every single postseason and Super Bowl record in history. Whether it's wins, team wins, whether it's individual statistics, he owns every single record in postseason Super Bowl history. Name all the great quarterbacks ever. Joe Montana, Dan Marino, Otto Graham, you know, whoever you want to go back to, you know, Terry Bradshaw, John Elway. None of them can hold a candle to his postseason and Super Bowl accomplishments. None. I mean, he's been there more, he's played more, he's won more, he's put up better numbers than any quarterback in history. And he's also in, like, the short, you know, top 3 or 4 in every major regular season category. With a couple more seasons, you know, he'll be top 1 or top 2 in every regular season category. But here's what it comes down to, Kevin, because, you know, we like to break down all the stats.
Yep.
The NFL, at the end of the day, is a very simple game. It's about the quarterback. If you have a good quarterback, you win.
Yep.
If you have a bad quarterback, you lose.
You suck.
And the best way to measure that is by passing efficiency. How good is your rating? We ran the numbers on every game last season. Quarterbacks who had a rating of better than 130 went 36-0 last season. Better than 120, 26-3. That's 90% winning percentage. Better than 100 overall, they only lost 22 games. They went, we're doing the numbers right now, 62, 96. Teams with better than 100 passer rating went 134-22 last year.
Wow.
So if you have a quarterback, an efficient quarterback who puts up, you know, strong, efficient numbers, you win games. And what does Brady do week after week, game after game, season after season? He puts up very efficient passing performances. He doesn't get intercepted. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't make stupid mistakes.
Yep.
He puts the ball in the end zone a lot. He's one of the most efficient passers in history. That's why the Patriots win, because they have one of the best, most efficient passers in the history of football. And they're also a smart team that does all the little things right. You take away Brady, the Patriots are not a special team.
Not under Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, and you could go look at passer ratings right down the line.
Yep.
If you have a mediocre passer rating, you have a mediocre record. If you have a bad passer rating, you have a bad record. If you have a great passer rating, like I said, 130 or better, 36-0. When Tom Brady in his career has a passer rating of 110 or better, Kevin, 110 or better, okay, which is a pretty good game. If you have a 110 passer rating, you're having a pretty good game. The Patriots are 66-1 in his career.
Wow.
When he has a 110 rating or better. So it all comes down to that quarterback position. If he's an inferior quarterback and he's 20 points lower on average, say 10 points lower on average, their rate of victory declines precipitously.
Mm.
It's all about Tom Brady's efficiency and also being a well-coached team with Bill Belichick and a well-managed team. But Brady is the linchpin to the greatest victory machine in the history of football. You take him out, you gunk up the works of the greatest victory machine in the history of football.
Again, we are speaking with the one and only Kerry J. Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com, and we were talking a little bit about the whole Deflategate thing, getting his interpretation, and I think we should probably kind of give a little bit of a wrap to your thoughts on what we might see this Wednesday. Do we see a moral victory with the judge basically overturning this? Do we see a settlement? What do you think, Kerry?
Well, that's not just a moral victory. That's a complete victory. You know, if the judge was to vacate the suspension, which, listen, I'm not a legal analyst, and
yep.
This is not as simple as they have proof that they didn't. It's,
yep.
it's a union management issue, okay, because of the CBA collective bargaining agreement. That's what attorneys, you know, labor attorneys that I know, that's what they're telling me, okay? It's really not about did he do it or didn't he do it, but it's possible, it's possible that the lawyer looks at this, looks at the fact that there's no evidence, and says to the NFL that you can't just arbitrarily punish people with nothing but some suspicion. You need some evidence. You need some hard evidence, and there is nothing.
Yep.
There is, as we said in our story, like I said, this may be the biggest story in Boston sports this year. Tom Brady, an innocent man, Roger Goodell's fatal mistake, as we put it in the story, there is no proof, no video, no audio, no document, no text, no email, no admission, no data, no communication, no record of any kind that shows that Tom Brady had any role in illegally doctoring footballs so that they were below legal guidelines.
Yeah.
There is nothing. They have nothing on him. So this federal judge may look at this and say, you're the NFL and you have an agreement with this union, but you can't just arbitrarily, impact someone's career and someone's livelihood by taking away money, which, Brady's going to lose a lot of money, by defaming his character, which they've done. And I have no idea whether there's a defamation or lawsuit possible down the road. I hear different things from legal people. I don't know. But they've clearly defamed his character.
Sure.
I mean, he is now, wherever he goes, even if the judge vacates this suspension and says, you have no evidence, wherever he goes, people are going to be chanting cheater in the stands.
Yeah.
This is going to haunt him for the rest of his life because the NFL, in its stupidity, ran a sting operation with no facts and no data based on some suspicion raised by some competing teams that can't beat the Patriots. This is the worst hatchet job I've ever seen in sports.
Well, can it be any worse than being Bill Buckner?
But Bill Buckner, he made an error. He made an error that cost,
yeah.
Quite, by the way, that there were other factors, and there was a Game 7 still to go.
Yeah, nobody realizes that.
Yeah, that was Game 6. Bill Buckner made a gaffe, and you know what? He made that mistake. He's got to deal with it. In this case, Tom Brady made no gaffe. As far as we know, he made no gaffe. He did nothing wrong.
Mm.
So there's a difference between, culpability and not culpability, and bringing it on yourself, as Buckner did, however, unfortunately. And Brady's case, quite frankly, quite possibly, being completely innocent of anything, yet still being railroaded and run over.
Let me ask you this. Let's going away from Tom Brady and culpability in this whole controversy. When we look forward here, have your writers on coldhardfootballfacts.com been able to begin assessing what we're going to see for the 2015 season? Or is it too soon? We have to find out what the outcome is of Tom Brady's suspension.
Well, let's look at it this way. I said earlier, the NFL is all about the quarterback, right?
Yep.
Look at the AFC East, which is, you don't have to be a good team to go to the playoffs in the NFL anymore. You're just going to be better than three other teams.
That's right.
The way the format is, the division, there are four team divisions in each conference. And sometimes you have bad teams going to the playoffs because there's four bad teams in a division.
Right.
The Patriots could go 9-7 and still win the division.
Yeah, but wait.
Now look at the quarterbacks. It's all about the quarterback. The Jets, their quarterback was just punched out by a teammate, Geno Smith, last week. And one of the stupidest stories, classic Jets stories.
Sure.
The Bills may have Matt Castle at starting quarterback, okay?
True.
So there's two teams without a quarterback. Miami has Ryan Tannehill, who is a highly drafted player with a lot of potential, but he's been a mediocre quarterback.
Yep.
And if you have a mediocre quarterback, what are you, Kevin?
You're in the middle of the pack.
You're a mediocre team.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Yep.
You have a bad quarterback, you're a bad team.
Right. We learned that earlier.
Yeah. You have a great quarterback, you're a great team. So the Patriots, can they go 1-3, 2-2 with Jimmy Garoppolo if that's the case? Of course they can.
Yep.
And do they go with Brady for 12 games? Do they go 10-2? Well, now you're talking an 11-12 win team. You're talking a team that's going to win the division. You're talking a team that's going to be in the midst of the playoff hunt.
Yep.
And you're talking the best big game quarterback of our generation. You're talking the best coach in football. The Patriots, with or without the suspended Brady, still have every shot in the world to go to the Super Bowl. Are they going to? I don't know. There's a lot of defensive questions.
Yeah.
The Patriots didn't look particularly great last week on their preseason opener against the Packers. But it's preseason. Who knows? But the Patriots, in all likelihood, should win the division still.
Okay.
Because no other team has a quarterback.
Well, if I can interrupt here for a second, you were talking the Patriots could go 9-7, go to the playoffs. They can go 11-5 and not make it, as we saw in 2008. If you remember the Matt Castle year when Brady went down to injury.
Yep.
They just happened to lose a tiebreaker to the Dolphins.
But you know what happened that year, okay? The Dolphins had a quarterback that year. Chad Pennington, who had previously had played for the Jets, should have been the MVP of the 2008 NFL season.
I agree.
Chad Pennington had a crazy passer rating. He had he was one of the most accurate passers in the history of football. He was a highly efficient player. He didn't, he kind of threw those raw passes. He wasn't considered a big armed guy. He had a phenomenal season. He had a Pro Bowl season, and the Dolphins went 11-5 because Chad Pennington had an 11-5 type season passing the football.
Right.
And so that guy isn't out there this year. That guy is not out there this year. Barring a change among the other three teams, none of these teams have a quarterback to compete with the Patriots. They don't. Maybe one of them turns out to have a record-breaking 2000 Baltimore Ravens-type defense, and that could change something, a once-in-a-generation-type defense. But other than that, I see the Patriots winning the division. No matter how, if Brady plays 12 or 16 games, the Patriots win the division.
So I have to ask, and that is, and we just got a couple of minutes left here with you, Kerry, and that is who do you see being that one team that may challenge? Do you feel the Jets have made enough moves to challenge? Do you feel that under the guidance of Rex Ryan that the Bills can get over the hump and at least get a victory over the Patriots and stay with them, or is it the Dolphins ultimately?
The team best equipped right now to challenge the Patriots is the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They have some good talent on defense. They have a pretty good defense. Tannehill could improve. Like I said, they've been a mediocre team because they've had a mediocre quarterback. But he's a young kid with a lot of promise. He could step up. If he has a breakout season, the Dolphins could steal the division. Absolutely. But they need that breakout season. I would not bet on that. If I'm a betting man, I think your money's still on the Patriots. But the NFL is a great sport because it changes so dramatically from season to season. Not so much in the AFC East, where the Patriots have won a tie for 14 straight division titles, which is unheard of. And Tom Brady's won 12, he's led their team to 12 division titles, more than any other quarterback in history. But unless Tannehill has a breakout season, or Ryan Fitzpatrick, who could be replacing Geno Smith as a quarterback in New York with the Jets, unless one of those mediocre quarterbacks has a breakout season, the Patriots are still the team to beat in the AFC. And possibly, probably the team to beat in the AFC, period.
Is there any other, what teams do you see challenging the Patriots for home field advantage? Is it still going to be Peyton Manning and the Broncos? Are we going to see someone else rise up out of the ashes?
Well, I never count out the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've had a couple, not great seasons. But, they won a couple Super Bowls with Ben Roethlisberger because he puts up great numbers. He's a highly efficient performer. They're historically a great defense. The Steelers are right there with the Patriots as a marquee franchise that consistently wins a lot. They're well managed, they're well coached, they're well run. Football is about the quarterback, as we talked about. It's also about management.
Yep.
There are more players in football than any other sport. There are more coaches in football than any other sport. You need a well run business. You need a well run organization to win in the NFL. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are a well run team, and I can see a team like Pittsburgh certainly challenging the Patriots to be a Super Bowl contender, as they have been, for much of the past decade with Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback. Peyton Manning, he looked bad at the end of his last season, but if he bounces back and has a typical Peyton Manning season, Denver's definitely a team to worry about. I don't think Indy's ready to take the next step. I think the Patriots just dominate them. Andrew Luck, despite being declared, the best young quarterback in the game,
yep,
he makes far too many mistakes. He's no Russell Wilson. There's a reason Russell Wilson's gone to two Super Bowls with Seattle. He's a highly efficient passer. He doesn't make mistakes. So I'm looking Pittsburgh and the AFC. It's Pittsburgh, Denver right now, who are New England's prime challenges. And, Pittsburgh won the division again last year. They got back on top of the AFC North. This is a team to worry about if their defense steps up and Big Ben can have a big season.
Yeah, we've been speaking with Kerry J. Byrne from coldhotfootballfacts.com. When I need to know information about the NFL, I don't go to their network. I don't go to the four-letter network. I go to coldhotfootballfacts.com. Kerry, anything you want to say to wrap up? We got about a minute and a half.
No, man, I'm just excited football's back, and, I'm working on a whole bunch of other things, too. I'm a proud Quincy guy, right?
I do, Kevin? And you're a proud beer guy, too.
Proud beer guy, well... being a longtime beer and, food writer for the Boston Herald, but the city of Quincy is going to be the next big city to pop in greater Boston. There's a lot going on downtown,
sure,
a lot of development under Mayor Tom Koch, a lot of great things happening. I've proposed to the city that the city build a historic beer garden right in the heart of the city to celebrate the city being the home of John Adams, the home of John Quincy Adams, the home of John Hancock, the birthplace of the Constitution, America's most historic city. And I want to have a beautiful, historic beer garden to open the arms of hospitality, Quincy's arms of hospitality to the world. And have a great place to drink and eat and celebrate all our history right here in the heart of Quincy, Kevin. So that's a little side project I'm working on, and I'd love to have all you. When we open, Kevin, you're going to be one of the first people on the list.
I definitely will be there. And actually, what you need to do is we need to have you in to talk exclusively about that as this starts to come together and as it becomes a reality. Sound like a plan?
Happy to do it, Kevin. Absolutely. Always happy to be on with you.
There he is, the one and only Kerry J. Byrne, a good friend. And if you're not checking out coldhotfootballfacts.com, keep an eye on the Boston Herald, as he does a great job as a beer and food critic. That's all the time that we have. If you've missed any of the segments tonight, go to the WATD webpage and scroll down, look for Monday Night Talk. Click on that. Usually during the week, we put up the podcast. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have a good evening.